Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Blitz is coming. Mariota in trouble, being ripped away, stays alive, throws it in the front, picked off. Guess who? Deron Bland, one man to beat. Pick six.
This from Jack. Jack writes, Kevin, I think Ian and that crazy Mark might be right, even though I'm sure it's revisionist history for them rather than what they actually thought back in July. If the team had no intention of paying Terry what he and his agent wanted, they should have traded him immediately. Yeah, Jack, that's great, but there was no market for Terry as long as his contract demands were what they were. Remember when he asked for the trade, Diana Russini and others said no one's going to trade for Terry because nobody thinks he's worth what he's asking for. So that's just not, you know, it's nice to kind of, you know, act like, well, you know, back then I was kind of suggesting, well, no one was, first of all. Secondly, to look back and say, you know, if they really, really weren't going to pay it and they were convinced that Terry was going to turn this into a, you know, camp-long holdout, they should have traded him. There was nobody in the league that wanted Terry McLaurin for the money that he wanted to get paid, so there was no trade market. Not to mention the fact, okay, that when you trade somebody that you have to pay, you don't get enough back in return. And lastly, the team did want Terry to play for them this year. They liked Terry. It's why they offered him the contract when they didn't have to do it. Jeremy in Baltimore is about to have an aneurysm because on the day after a 44-20 bloodletting in Dallas, it's Terry McLaurin Day, like we're, you know, on August 8th. Let's go to Bobby in North Carolina. Bobby, go ahead.
Hey, brother. I love you today. For an hour and a half today, but I really want to talk to you. And sometimes I think I go off on this radio show, but anyway. That being said, I got five quick points, Kevin.
Just five. You did, Bobby. Yeah. You know, you held long enough. You get all five. Let's go through them.
No, I'm gonna be real quick because I know I got to go to a meeting. I'm waiting on phone for an hour. Anyway, defense is terrible. 27 consecutive freaking weeks having this conversation for the most part, Kevin. Defense is the number one problem with this organization now, okay? Number two, we got the score down to – we were outplayed the whole first half. Kevin, it was a 20-15 game with about 40 seconds on the clock. We were in the game, okay? Three plays later, they freaking give up a touchdown again, so we're down two scores, okay? And we were going to get the ball out of the second half down 20-15 if we would have held them. Wagner and Ertz, Kevin, they probably shouldn't have been re-signed. It was probably an easy decision for the organization to give them one-year deals. They're both aging. They're both showing their age. Bobby can't run, Kevin. He is not helping this defense at all. And I know you said he's the captain of the defense and all this stuff, Kevin. He cannot move outside the tackles. I love Bobby. He's been a good Redskin now for a year and a half. But you've got to get somebody else a chance in some situations, okay?
Yeah.
And don't run him out there 100% of the time. Ertz can't catch the ball as much as he needs to. He's got one or two drops every game. Number four, Lattimore needs to get off the field. He can't play, period, okay? He can't cover me, Kevin, okay? He's getting turned around every which way he can, okay? And he just cannot play anymore. I'm putting Sanders Sterling on the outside and give Noah Eisen the reps inside, okay, and see if that makes the difference. You can't tell me that, you know, we're not better talent-wise in the back, because I know we are, okay? Sanders Sterling was flashing all of last year. Quan Martin flashed last year. Now, all of a sudden, those two guys can't play. I just think you need to make a few changes. And lastly, you know, Dallas coming into the game, they were known to play zone, zone, zone. Guess what? They made an adjustment last week, Kevin. They went up a lot of man, okay? They put 8 or 9 people in the box all day long. And I'm telling you, my wife was watching the game. She said, look at all the people at the line of scrimmage. They can't block everybody.
The Bears played a lot of men in the box on running downs, too. There have been two straight games of a difficult time to run the football. Here's my question back to you. I still feel like they should have tried more. I sometimes think they don't try enough to run the football, and they get away from it a little bit too quickly. But I get it. You know, last year, anybody loads the box and plays man coverage, they're checking to something that's much better, and it worked all year. But with the players they had on the field yesterday, maybe the heavy jumbo with Trent Scott and trying to, you know, stick with it. Here's the problem, Bobby. You're getting scored on every single time you leave the field. You can't afford to leave the field.
I know that. I know that, Kevin. I understand. Okay? But you got to do something different. We're doing the same thing defensively. He's rushing 4, dropping 7. I called you a couple weeks ago and told you this defensive concept is based on pressure and turnovers. And we are doing nothing in those two categories. 3 turnovers after 7 weeks? I mean, no pressure at all, Kevin. They're rushing 4 hoping they can get home. And we are getting picked apart, man. So I know you got to pick your poison. Yeah. Guess what? I'm going to put 8 or 9 in the box. I'm freaking going after the quarterback and let him make a hasty decision. And you might get a turnover here now and then. But anyway, I know you got a million dollars.
They can't buy a turnover at this point.
I know they can't, but they're not. They're just falling back in zone coverage, Kevin, and I mean, it's just getting worse.
Well, they don't do anything well. That's the problem is, Bobby, and you know how much I love you and love your passion, that you've offered a couple of solutions, but it's not like personnel-wise they got a lot of places to go. That's, you know, and that assumes that personnel is the bigger of the issues. I'm not sure that's the case. I think scheme and having these guys in a better position is a big part of this. I do.
100%, Kevin.
Yeah.
But listen, it's just like my job and your job. If I do the same things wrong every day, I'm gonna get the same result. There's somebody you gotta. If it doesn't work out, go back to it. But you gotta try something different, or it's not gonna get different. It's gonna be the same thing.
Well, I mean, hell, against Atlanta, they tried a lot of different things. I gotta go back to see how much they tried. Here's the one thing I'm gonna say. This will probably piss a lot of you off. I don't think it's a lack of, like, effort or urgency or trying or culture or anything like that. That's why I'm really, disappointed if there isn't something that changes to address the actual outcome. The outcome...
They play hard.
Yeah, they do.
They play hard.
They do.
They play hard. I don't have a problem with their effort.
They're just not good.
It's just... Something's not right, okay? I'm thinking it's a scheme, okay? Something's not right, brother.
I think that's a big part in it. I don't know if these guys are in the positions they're supposed to be in to have the most success. And as far as Lattimore goes, you know, I was thinking yesterday with him, you know, on Pickens, it's like, this is exactly why they traded the picks for you, is to match up with a Lamb or a Pickens. and to end up with more good than bad. Corners are never going to be perfect. We know that. But he is so heavily outweighted on bad versus good in those matchups that get highlighted the most. All right. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it, and I appreciate your patience, as always. Let's go to Ralphie in Rockville. Ralphie, same to you. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. So one thing, right, we didn't see these many coverage breakdowns with Jeremy Chinn last year. It was the run defense that struggled.
Right.
So Quan Martin, right, he can't fill the Chinn role of being the leader on the secondary that communicates with others. That's what a lot of people haven't noticed. Like, when you look back last year, Chinn was the one who was communicating to everybody. Quan is lost out there. He can't tackle. And that.
Did you think Harris had the whole thing figured out when he was in?
No, he didn't. He didn't. But if you look at that underthrown touchdown to CeeDee Lamb, that was supposed to be an interception yesterday by any starting free safety. It was right there, Kevin. It was an underthrown ball, and Brady pointed that out. And listen, you know, I was in support of Adam Peters, and I'm still a huge supporter of Adam Peters, right? However, he made a lot of bad decisions, from signing Matt Gay to that guaranteed deal, who got another penalty yesterday that led to a touchdown. They started on the 40. So, you know, from trading for Lattimore.
Wait, what play did you just say? Sorry, I missed that.
Matt Gay got a penalty. Remember, they started at the 40.
Oh, yeah, when he kicked it out of bounds. Yeah, like he
does that every other week, you know?
Right.
It's terrible. And you can't cut him because you gave him guaranteed money, and you can't really sign any other kicker that's good out there. So, you know, from signing Adam Gay, trading for Lattimore. Now, Lattimore, I can't be too hard on him because he was in position. It's not like he's not there.
He was in position, it seemed like, more yesterday than he has been. You're right.
Exactly. It's just like Dak threw a perfect ball to Pickens. It was right in the bucket. It was. Yep. You can't throw it any better. It's just better play by the receiver. So I'm not going to be too hard on Lattimore, but he is a liability because he can't cover. And he doesn't have that speed, but he still has the physicality and the effort. And people, you know, they want to talk about the tackle. I mean, that was just a better play by Williams. He Lattimore should have got lower. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, and then my biggest thing, right, is this, right? You know, this is my, I'm still a supporter of Adam Peters. I don't care what nobody says. I still support him, and I think he's going to get this thing turned around.
I mean, come
my biggest problem with him.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with him, right, is, When you trade for Debo, right, and I was a supporter of, I thought Debo was a huge upgrade from Deami Brown. But my thing is, if you do that, you can't bring Noah Brown back. He's too injury prone. He's only played three games in the last 13 games, I think.
I know, but so what were their options? Tell me what their options were.
Kevin, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs. You could have got Luther Burden. You could have got it was plenty of options, Kevin. You know what I mean? Like, you could have got, you can't bring Noah Brown back. He can't play. He's done. He's never going to be the same. He has like 14 injuries.
You know what's so funny about this part of the conversation, Ralphie, is that when we talked about a second receiver, which was on my top five priority lists, now they added Debo, they added another weapon, but adding a legitimate sort of outside number two receiver, most everybody balked at it because that's not where the emphasis needed to be in the offseason. They did upgrade offensively by adding Debo, by adding Tunsil. The trade for Tunsil is an investment in protecting your quarterback, okay? It doesn't matter how it's worked out injury-wise. The move in that moment, and I still think, was a good move. I think Tunsil, for the most part, has played well. But you couldn't address everything. The Luther Burden thing, you know, there were some receivers. We talked about them, you know, all the way up. But they ended up drafting another player offense that they thought made a lot of sense, especially after they got completely ravaged in the trenches against the Eagles. They upgraded. They wanted to get bigger on defense, and they wanted to get bigger and better in the offensive line. And that's what their focus was in this offseason more than anything else.
But, Kevin, you got to realize that Noah Brown can't play. He's too injury-prone. You cannot bring him back. He's too hurt. He's just going to get hurt again.
You know, again, you don't have an unlimited number of draft picks. You don't have total say in free agency. And you didn't have enough picks after you'd made three trades to make many more. So you can't solve every single problem in one off season. You just can't. So they felt like Noah Brown, for a limited amount of money, was worth bringing back. They felt like basically a very low risk, high reward scenario, and Debo was perhaps better than bringing a guy like Stephon Diggs or going after a T. Higgins, which was really the conversation more than any other receiver in the offseason. Thanks, Ralphie, though, as always. Jason in Laurel. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, how you doing? Thanks for taking my
call.
What's
up, Jason?
I'll try to be coachable. I'm like just shaking my head. We're talking about Terry. We're talking about Joe Witt. Like those things I don't think are the problem. We had a magical season last year on a last place schedule and a quarterback that was like a gift from God. Now we don't have a last place schedule. And that cupboard was bare. You said it a couple calls ago that the cupboard was so bare. I don't think, to a man, most of the fan base understands that. I mean, it was terrible.
I think they realized it was basically a one-man show to the NFC Championship game last year, for all intents and purposes. We knew that the roster was going to be limited. We knew that there was a chance. I mean, my record prediction is going to look silly at 11-6, but my point all along was they could actually end up being a team that maybe overall in year two improves a little bit, but because of what they have ahead of them, at least on paper with the schedule, end up with fewer wins. But yeah, I think everybody understood how, but people are also impatient. Remember, last year's season raised the bar so high, so quickly, and perhaps unrealistically so. I bought into it. I thought, look, as long as Jaden plays 17 and is healthy, they're going to be back in the postseason with a chance to do some damage. But that's in jeopardy right now. We did know, though, that the roster was depleted.
Three small hopes, or bare.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I want to see lots of young people play. Obviously, I hope Jaden's okay. And if there's anybody on the team that's older than 27 that has any kind of trade value, I want them to trade it.
I'm not there yet. I appreciate that, but 7 games into the season, there is no way I am punting on the season at going into week 8.
Not saying punting.
Well, you want to see the young guys. You want to see the developmental guys, and you want to get value for their starters that are older. Which, by the way, there's not a lot of value.
There's so many holes. I don't think they can fill them all in one season. I think they maybe need 2 seasons.
Yeah, of course not. They've only had 2 off seasons to try to do it.
We'll still win some games. Because we have Jaden, but I really think the talent pool is poor. Thank you for taking my call.
Jason. Appreciate it. Let's go to our guy. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. Anthony, go ahead.
Kevin, when I say the words Michael Ray Richardson to you, what immediately comes to mind?
One unbelievable playoff series against the 76ers in 1982, 83, and then drugs.
The ship be sinking.
Yeah.
So
it could be. It could be, but I'm not ready to jump off it after 7 weeks. No chance.
No, I mean, we go up to the deadline and see what's happening before we jump off. But I got a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
A few weeks back, I said to you that because of the success of the prior year, we've depleted our already depleted assets going forward,
right.
and that it was going to take approximately 2 to 3 years to get this roster right. And in so many words, you basically said I was crazy.
I did. About not having draft choices? No, what I would have said is what I'll tell you right now. They made the decision to treat the rookie contract as the first window to try to win big. And I agreed with it. But I didn't say you were crazy. I've suggested that there are two ways to look at the draft choices. I was in favor when last year ended to consider the rookie contract as an opportunity for window number one to go all in. They traded 8 picks for 3 players, and to your point, you know, it's depleted their ability to continue to try to upgrade, you know, what is not a super strong roster. But they also added, you know, Laremy Tunsil, Deebo Samuel, who's helped them win 3 games. But Marshawn Lattimore, obviously, is the bust of the 3 by far.
I'm being a little facetious when I say you call me crazy. But
yeah,
my point is, I was saying that it's going to take at least another 2 to 3 years to build out this roster, especially on the defensive side. Because basically the over the hill gang doesn't play in today's NFL. I mean, think about it. We got to replace Wagner. More than likely, we're going to have to replace Lattimore. Are you going to give Payne a contract? Who's going to replace Dietrich Wise? Who's going to basically all of these 1-year contracts? They can't do
well.
Anymore.
That gives them some flexibility, but, too. Remember that.
Well, think about it.
And they understood that.
They need, in my opinion, they need a game wrecker. They need a Max Crosby, Micah Parsons, so on and so forth. But when you look at the landscape of the league, there aren't any out there because they're all signed.
Yep.
There are no free agents that immediately come to mind to say, okay, we can go after him. If there are, I'm missing them because I don't see him. So that brings a problem. The only way to get a him is you have to have a him. You don't know it. You draft somebody, you don't know they're him until they are him. So the only way they can get somebody like that is to trade for him. But they don't have any assets.
Yeah, but to your point, none of them are actually available. We thought for a brief moment that maybe one or two of them might be available, but they weren't, as it turned out.
So you have limited draft capital for the next 2 years. There are no free agents that immediately come to mind. Therefore, 2 to 3, maybe even 4 years to get the roster right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it takes, I mean, you can certainly hit on a higher percentage than you normally hit on. And let's not forget that the reason that they, you know, last year's offseason and this year's offseason, with the exception of Kinlaw and the trades, okay, and those are big deals, I'm not suggesting they're not, that they put themselves into position to move on quickly if it didn't work out. I think some of the bigger issues are going to be if the next few weeks, well, we've got one game before the trade deadline now. One game, just the Kansas City game. I don't think they're punting on the season. I doubt there'll be a seller at the trade deadline. That's my guess. But if they, you know, have Jaden gone for a long period of time, then they might end up doing that. I got to run, Anthony. I'm up against a break. I got Ben Standing coming up. Those of you who I didn't hit, we'll come back to it for a few minutes at the end of the show. I'm not asking you to hold for the whole time, but we'll try to take calls at the end, and we'll hold off on all the other sports and the other NFL for tomorrow. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carlson on Twitter: blessing in disguise if Jaden's hurt. Mariota was outstanding. They'll be better off with him. You can't be serious. You're not the only person, by the way, Carlson, to say that. Tell me you didn't watch the game without telling me you didn't watch the game. I mean, I like Marcus Mariota, and I love the way he runs the zone reads. He had in the game, what did we say, Max, in the break? 21 snaps in the game?
21 snaps, I think we broke down four series.
13 of them were horrible. Yeah. It's not his fault. He had the same limitations that Jaden had, and he came in and he wasn't a part of the game plan. I'm not blaming him, but you can't possibly have watched that game and been like, whew, okay, we got our guy now in Mariota. Like, did you see the pick six? Did you see the fourth down in which he missed McCaffrey by about 20 yards? Wide right and high? I mean, I like Mariota. And by the way, if he has to play on Monday night or the game after that, I feel great about him versus a lot of backups. He is perfect for this situation. And having a full week, we know he can play still in this system in particular. And I do like the way he runs the zone reads. I talked about that. He's a dual threat quarterback. You know, he's a true and very good dual threat quarterback who looks really good right now, health-wise, you know, running the football. We saw it in the Raider game. We saw it even to a certain extent in the Atlanta game. But you can't be serious to think that he came in and played well. Like, I don't know what he'll grade out as. I'm actually now very interested. Not that, you know, Pro Football Focus is the end-all, be-all. But I said on my podcast last night, I go, this is not going to be one of those games he's going to want to look at the QBR number in the game. And it was, and I hadn't seen it yet, it was a 7.4. About as bad as you can be QBR-wise. But again, I'm not blaming. It came in, and they're down by a bunch of points. They're getting their ass kicked. They got three receivers out there that are, you know, way down the depth chart. Well, you know, not starters. It's not like Jalen Lane and McCaffrey haven't played a lot this year. I don't know how you could watch that game and think that Mariota played well. He had a couple of good runs. He had a couple of good throws. 20, 21 snaps. Most of them were not good. He took two sacks and should have almost got four, escaped a couple of them, in 12 dropbacks or called dropbacks. It's not a good sack percentage rate. But again, not his fault. I like Marcus Mariota. I do. I'm just not going to sit here and tell you after watching what I watched that, oh my God, thank God he's here because they got an answer. He's better than Jaden. You guys are insane. You can't possibly think that. Maybe they do. All right, let's bring on our team insider, Ben Standing. Last Man Standing is the podcast. Last Man Standing is the Substack, which I have subscribed to. Ben is such a good reporter and columnist covering this team. You can follow Ben on X on Twitter at Ben Standing. Let's start with kind of the two big picture questions. The defensive coordinator, or just the defense in general, and what Quinn said after the game. We'll get to that. I want to start with Jaden Daniels, the injury, the hamstring, MRI today. We'll probably hear at some point today how it went. What are you expecting?
Well, I mean, based on what we know, which is not a ton, but just a little bit of information that's come out, you know, the supposed him, you know, winking to his mother or making a gesture to his mother indicating he's okay, it doesn't seem like it's some catastrophic matter. Now, whether that means he's good enough to go for next week, you know, that's going to be tricky, right? It would be difficult for any player to be dealing with a hamstring injury, but one whose mobility is central to what he does, because he's not like a pure pocket passer in that regard, that seems like it could be more problematic. So if you tell me the end result is here, he misses the game in Kansas City, I won't be surprised. You know, at this point, hopefully it's not more than that. But, you know, I think it's going to have to be something they take a long consideration into. I mean, you know, it didn't look great when it happened. And again, with his style, hamstring injury, you can't let this thing linger beyond whatever the most minimum amount of time is for recovery.
All right, the second biggest story coming out of the game yesterday was, once again, the defense was horrendous. And what Dan Quinn said in his post-game presser left an open-ended question that maybe gets answered later on today or at some point this week, but I want to know what you thought when you heard Dan Quinn when asked about the explosives that the team continues to give up on defense, saying, quote, he's going to look at everything, closed quote.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's something you say after a game. In other words, you know, it's not just on any one play or any one player. Everything is up for grabs. And obviously, the one topic that we haven't really had too much, gotten into a ton, at least with regards to Quinn, is would he make any changes of coaching responsibilities with Joe Witt as the play caller. Now, Quinn's response was, he was later asked about that specifically, about, you know, potentially changing who's calling plays. He said, well, he didn't say yes or no. He just said that he's always on the calls. He's always communicative within the calls. So it sounds like he was saying he's already taking some level of responsibility for what's going on. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're going to have to consider that. You know, again, we don't always know, you know, if Marshawn Lattimore is getting beat. Is he getting beat because he was put in a bad position, or is he getting beat because, you know, he failed to make a play that he was put in position to do? I'm not just pointing him. He was the guy that was getting beat a bit last night, and it's sort of an obvious one to target. So that's the thing that they have to make honest assessments about internally. But, yeah, I mean, it's on the table now, and I'm glad, you know, for the purposes of what the hell is going on here, I think it needed to be.
Yeah. You know, I kind of laid out the options Quinn has when he says, I'm going to look at everything. What's he looking at? Well, option one would be to do nothing. Option two would be to do something with the defensive coordinator, you know, take away his coordinating and even game day play calling responsibilities and take it on himself or give it to somebody else. Option three would be to just make personnel changes. Option four would be to do both, to do something with the defensive coordinator and also make personnel changes. And then option number five would be, and I think this is a long shot, but it could be to let Joe Witt Jr. go after seven games. Which of those options do you think he'll choose?
The Joe Witt part to me is sort of going to be the last resort. I just don't know that he, you know, that Quinn's going to go there. This is, of course, a coach that he brought over with him from Dallas. Quinn is on that side of the ball. It is reasonable to think that he has more of a say what goes on there and kind of leaves Cliff Kingsbury to do his own thing on offense. So I imagine Quinn already feels like he's involved to a degree. Does him actually calling the plays versus, you know, what's going on now, is that what's going to flip this switch? You know, I don't know. I know it's more than just the play calls. It's what goes on over the course of the week. But, you know, the head coach can only do so much. So, you know, I don't know that that's the move. The problem is, okay, fine, let's go look at personnel. You know, we talked about the depth concerns about this team all year long. I don't know what – I honestly don't know in most cases what the personnel change would be. You know, right. First of all, on the defensive line – you know, they've already had a bunch of defensive end injuries. Now Dorrance Armstrong leaves this game. He missed practice all week with a hamstring injury. Now he left this game with a knee issue. And he didn't, you know, left in the first possession, didn't come back. We'll have to see where that is. He's their, you know, been their best pass rusher by far. But even beyond that, they are just, they have now run out of viable bodies to play on the edge. If he's out, you know, for any length of time, that's three defensive ends they've lost. You're now relying on Jacob Martin, who's been a good player, but he's, you know, undersized to be a three down defensive end. And Preston Smith, he just got here 10 minutes ago. And, you know, let's just say he's more of a reserve at this point of his career than a starter. So they don't even have guys to turn to. So there's that. And then, you know, same thing with like a linebacker. If anybody wants to say, hey, sit Bobby Wagner. Okay, well, cool. But like, to what end? Like, who is, you know, is McGee ready to go in there? I don't know that he is. So that's the problem. I just don't think they have a lot of options, at least on the offensive line after week two, going from Coleman and Allegretti to Wiley and Paul is sort of the equivalent of like rearranging the deck chairs, but they were all like, okay, well, maybe let's just try this. And it did work. I don't think there's the equivalent on defense where it's like sort of a, well, this could work. I don't see what they can do. Maybe there's something subtle. Maybe there's uncertain packages. But in general, I guess I would still, if you make me pick, I would say that the personnel, I just don't know exactly what I think that would be.
I'm kind of with you on that, and I kind of talked about that. You know, there aren't a lot of moves to be made there. But if you don't think that that's, you know, something that's viable because there aren't a lot of options, and, you know, you don't believe that the odds kind of favor some sort of, you know, meaning coordinator and play calling responsibilities or even firing Joe Witt at this point in the season, then you're probably leaning towards Quinn doing nothing, right?
Yeah, I mean, the column that I had up today after the game was about how, you know, the one thing that's been preached over and over again since Quinn and Peters arrived is the culture, right? And, you know, we view culture typically from a, you know, build each other up and help each other, you know, when you're having a bad day and all these kinds of things. But it also can lead to, or it can be a factor in improvement, you know, being, you know, holding each other more responsible. I don't know, if not saying that they're not doing these things. I'm just saying, if you're going to talk about this, if you're going to build up the oldest roster in the league, in large part to establish this culture, which is important because culture is not, you know, talent waivers, injuries happen, but culture is supposed to be a constant. You need to rely on what it is, your DNA, you know, whatever it is internally to help you improve. I mean, there's, you know, we can sit here and say make a move at the trade deadline. That's not going to be the solve for this problem. So they're going to, I think at the moment, honestly, the best thing they can hope for is, you know, get pissed off, get on each other, work harder. I know that all sounds sort of cliche, but like I said, I don't think there's really too much they can do in the personnel department, especially with the injuries up front. So I think that's what they're going to have to lean on as much as anything, i.e., yeah, Quinn not doing anything. But this is, again, why you build up a culture, why you build up an internal sense, you know, and you've got to lean on that right now to fix it, I think.
All right. Before we get to the larger picture of where they are right now in this season, just your big takeaways from the loss yesterday in Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, you know, starting with the offense, obviously Jaden going down is, you know, front, you know, the big topic. They didn't lose this game because of that. They were already in rough shape. And when they were down 27, that touchdown right before halftime for the Cowboys was so killer. Not just because you don't want to give up points like that. You had some momentum after scoring on your own with 40 seconds to go, but because they just don't have the personnel to come back. Like they, you know, the receiver room was absolutely, you know, bad. I mean, it's not the player's fault. They don't have the abilities. So with Dallas seeing what the Bears did last week, they crowded the line of scrimmage. They basically said, go ahead, we're going to take away the run game, take away Jaden's legs as best we can and make you throw it to the outside. And, you know, again, if you want to tell me next man up, fine. It's beyond reasonable at this point at the receiver. receiver room. They just don't have the pieces. So I think offensively, I think they did in the first half reasonably fine, all things considered. But when you talk about, you know, a team sport here, like, you've got to have, the defense has got to step up, knowing that the offense is so shorthanded. So to give up that score, to me, was just such a killer. And then Jaden getting hurt right at the start of the second half, it was just the, you know, all the cold water possible thrown onto any thought of a comeback. I think the defense, you know, it just continued to be the same things over and over again, allowing too many big plays. Again, when you take out Armstrong, the defensive line, I mean, there was one point out there, there was a play where it was like Deron Payne, and he was the only defensive lineman on the field, and it wasn't even like third and 30. It was like, you know, relatively normal down and distance, because they're just trying anything. So, you feel for them in that regard, but again, too many.
What play was that? I missed that play. A play where the only defensive lineman on the field was Payne. I missed that play.
I at least, you know, watching it as I was, I thought that's what I saw. I haven't looked through all the play chart, but yeah, I mean, that, to me, there was a play where it was him, and it was, I mean, maybe Jacob Martin was there in the 55 number for me, but yeah, I mean, in terms of like the bigger guys, like he was the only one I thought that was out there on the field at that time. And look, I mean, you have to, you know, as you know, you're a basketball guy too. Sometimes you got to throw up junk defenses when you're missing what, you know, rim protectors or whatever it might be. And that's what it felt like they were having to do. And you can't live on that in the NFL. So, you know, injuries are a huge problem, but the defense in particular, the issues we've been seeing over and over again all season and every game, especially the last month, you know, slow starts, giving up the big plays, you know, it's just been, it's been problematic. I mean, the secondary's not missing really. I mean, I guess they're missing Harris, but, like, you know, in general, they have their guys. And, you know, they're still giving up too many plays. But you know, when you're not pressuring the quarterback, it doesn't matter who's back there. So, yeah, it's a lot of problems right now.
All right. They've got 10 games left in their 2025 season. They're 3-4. And, of course, you know, the world is caving in on this team, according to, you know, everybody that follows it closely, or most people that follow it closely. What do you think?
Look, I think it's fair. You know, look, obviously the next week they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And it wasn't that long ago that people were, you know, starting to throw dirt on the Chiefs, which was just so incredibly stupid, because the Chiefs still have all the reasons as to why they've been, you know, the most successful team for the last, you know, decade, starting with the quarterback, but also just, you know, a lot of the core players, you know, strengths that they have. They just, you know, it just wasn't working out for them. Now they're getting guys back from injuries. It's looking better on offense in particular. I don't know we can't sit here and say realistically that Washington in their losses this year has looked formidable, but the other team just beat them. We can't, I mean, that's just not a realistic thing to say. They're giving up an average of 407 yards in the four losses and over 30 points a game. You know, even in some of the wins, if we discount the wins over the Giants and the Raiders because of the opponent's status at that point, you know, the win over the Chargers, their most impressive win of the year, still had, you know, the hallmarks of these issues, right? It still had the, you know, the slow start, the big plays. So this is kind of just who they are at this point. And that's different than saying, hey, we're not getting the wins, but, you know, we're right there. I don't think we can say that in all honesty. So that's why it's like, I mean, yes, you look at, you say it's only 3-4, you're like, oh, come on, that's not that bad. Half the league is 4-3 and 3-4. But it just doesn't feel like there's obvious solutions right now. And that's not even factoring in what the schedule is coming up. The next three games are going to be very, very tough. So starting with next week. So, yeah, it's hard right now to say this is why they're going to turn around. Don't, you know, it's all good. I don't know how you can say that right now based on what we've seen.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you later in the week. We'll see what develops here over the next few hours, if anything. Appreciate it as always.
Of course, Kevin. Thanks.
Ben Standing, everybody. When we come back, there's some numbers out there from yesterday's game that I want to share with you. One in particular that just tells the tale on the defense. We'll do that to finish up the show. We'll save all of the other NFL and some of the other sports stuff for tomorrow's show. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I just read from Nikki Javala's column in The Athletic, and there were some interesting numbers in there from the game yesterday. So Washington now through seven games has allowed the sixth most explosive play count in the league, and that is defined as 16 or more yards on a pass play and at least 12 yards or more on a run play. So number six in the number of explosive plays they've allowed now through Sunday. But five of the plays that they've allowed, 16 or more yards and completions in the league. Yeah. Five of the explosive plays they've allowed this year have gone for more than 50 yards. That's the most in the NFL. There have been a couple of big plays that have been called back by penalties, too, including one yesterday. Also, specific to the Cowboys defensively yesterday, it was very obvious that they were loading the box and playing man coverage when, you know, typically teams will play a lot more zone coverage, especially against Jaden Daniels, because you don't want to play man coverage against a guy that is, you know, that effective as a scrambler, because in man coverage, you often have your back turned to the quarterback. Well, yesterday the Cowboys used man coverage on 48.4% of their snaps. That was the highest percentage any team in the league played man coverage yesterday. The seventh highest by any team in a game this season. The Cowboys legitimately changed everything about the way they play defense. Remember, the Bears on Monday night changed a lot about the way they play defense. They really made an effort. And why are teams, why have they done that? Well, they've done that because, in part, their defenses have struggled. And so they were looking for a way to change it up. But Washington, with the depleted wide receiver core, there just isn't anybody that scares the defense. And so they feel like they're able to play man coverage, and they're able to play man coverage, you know, straight up across the board and take everybody else and load the box to stop the run. Washington also yesterday in the game had a 51.6% catch rate. That's the lowest for them in 2 years. Look, nothing looked great yesterday other than Tress Way's punting, and I thought Deron Payne. You have to, in a game like yesterday, we talked about it on Friday, knowing that you, it's a mismatch. You know, it is a complete and utter mismatch because your defense is gruesome at this point. You know, it is, you know what, another Halloween term since we're coming up. It's ghastly. It is a ghastly defense. You knew on offense you were going to have to keep pace. And to do that, you couldn't drop passes, you couldn't commit penalties, and you couldn't turn the ball over. And they did all of those things. And that was a major problem. And yet, it was 20-15 late in the first half, scheduled to get the ball to start the second half, and Dallas scored in three plays. In 30 seconds. They should have handled the last offensive drive differently. That is for sure. All right. You know, at least this isn't in the context of organizational dysfunction. At least we're missing and being able to justify omitting that from the conversation. Now it's all about the product on the field. That's nice if you're looking for a silver lining. Back tomorrow, Chris Russell's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.